I'd like to call to order the AMATS Technical Advisory Committee meeting today, Thursday, May 3rd at 1:30 p.m. And we do have a quorum. Very good. So we will move on to minutes. If I could remind everybody from the committee that when you make a motion or second, please state your name for ease of the minutes for next time.
Thank you. Move to approve minutes.
Thank you very much.
John Roger, second.
Perfect. Any comments, questions? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Very good. We'll move on to staff reports. First staff report, financial progress report, attachment 3A. Mr. Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you see, through March 31st, we've expended about 53% of the budget. We are in very good standing with our budget and expect to be under it at the end of the fiscal year. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any comments, questions from the committee?
Jim Baller.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. Any comments, questions? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, we'll move on to technical progress report. Mr. Baker.
All right, thank you again, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to let you know a couple things. First, the next round of TIGER funding is available. However, it is not called TIGER. It is now called the BUILD program. It has essentially all the same requirements as the TIGER program, except now there is additional emphasis put on local match. So similar to sort of what we've heard through the new administration is that there is a desire for more local participation, which I think in some ways is counter to the TIGER program from the standpoint of it being these transformative projects that are very difficult to build. If you want more information, let me know. I can, if you haven't received it, we have all the documentation, the NOFA, et cetera. It is a tighter timeline. I believe the any applications are due, I want to say it's like July 26th or something like that. So that is going to move quickly. Another thing is that in June, we have during our TAC meeting, our TAC will actually be held at ODOT Central Office, so please make a note now. District 4, not Central Office. We're not going to Central Office. Thank you, Dave, for the catch. Yeah, this is District 4's office. We're actually going to have, right after the TAC, we're going to have Dave Holstein from Central Office, and he's going to be talking about practical-based design process, sort of the new way that ODOT is looking at building new projects and being smart with their money and how to ensure that they're really utilizing the resources to their best of the ability for now and in the long term. Again, our TAC on, I don't know if the date's on the calendar, yeah, June 7th will be at ODOT District 4. So. And we'll try to send out emails, things like that. Last thing, just wanted to keep you in the loop, is that there is a chance that the AMATS offices will be moving. The city of Akron is looking at selling the building that we currently occupy, and so we would be potentially moving to a different space very close by.
Central office?
Yeah, so we're going to move in with Steve. Steve's got a big enough office, he and I can share it. Yeah. But we fully intend to stay in downtown, very close to where we are now. It just might be a slightly different location than it is right now. Obviously, and you might, if the deal that's supposed to happen goes through, you'll probably read about it in the paper, so just in case you're wondering, hey, that's where AMATS is. We're anticipating potentially moving. With that, are there any questions?
Any questions? Hearing none, we'll move on to the AMATS Federal Funds Report, Attachment 3C. Mr. Poulet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not a lot of news to discuss as far as funding goes. We are now entering the last part of the fourth quarter, and we still have a few projects that, to the best of my knowledge, haven't sold yet. So I'm really hoping that everything does sell as scheduled, and we don't end up with any larger than expected balances, because currently our balances are at reasonable levels, and we don't risk losing any funding. If there's any problems you're having, let us know if there's any way we can help you sell those last few projects that are scheduled in fiscal year 18. I know I've mentioned this before, but once again, the new projects are being the new projects that we just approved are being added to the current GIP on an as-needed basis. Most of the new projects are scheduled out in years that are beyond this this GIP, and they will be added as a new GIP or GIPs are developed. So that's how we're handling that. And so far, later in this meeting, we'll have an amendment where we do actually add a couple of projects. Leads to the next topic. Please, if you haven't, I just assume everyone has programmed your new projects, but if you haven't, please don't forget to do that. That's real important. Get with Chris Zuma at District 4. And one last thing, and this is not on your attachment, this just developed in the last few days. We will be having a TAC TIP subcommittee meeting on Tuesday, May 22nd. This is to discuss the need for some additional funding to a TASA project. And there's also some minor transit changes that we may discuss. But I guess what I want to do is let you know that if you do have anything that you would like us to discuss while we're meeting, because it's really a light agenda so far, if you're having any funding issues you'd like to discuss, please let me know. I'm going to wait a couple days, and then I'll send out the official notice and the agenda. So that's about all I have on funding. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Dave, what time was that?
Oh, it's at 9:30. It'll be Tuesday, May 22nd at 9:30. I'll send out an official notice of it next week. I just want to wait a couple of days just in case there's something else that comes up that I can put on the agenda.
Any other questions for Mr. Poulet? Thank you, Mr. Poulet. We'll move on. We have no old business, so we will move on to new business. Planning data forecast. Oral report by Ms. Dryden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to give a very brief rundown of where we're getting started with the 2045 planning data forecast. So, starting with the population data, this being the first component of looking at all the different variables based on population and employment for 2045. Not trying to reinvent the wheel based on previous forecasts that have been conducted, so I'm pretty much employing the same methodology in general, tweaking it a little bit to see if we can get some results that approach what expected results might be a little more closely. And I'm going to continue, I think, in the last forecast, starting to aggregate data at a sub-area level within the region and within counties, because that helped to smooth out and average out maybe some extremes in increases or decreases that weren't necessarily realistic for a given subdivision, but then that helped kind of average them out for the region, and that reflected reality a little more accurately. Just briefly going through the model without getting too mathematical on everybody, I'm using a process known as regression, so that we take existing data sets and ask Excel to calculate what would the equation for a particular line or curve be, and then using that equation to plug in different data points in the future. So just in a nutshell, on the x-axis, we would plot time on the horizontal axis. So we'll see in a couple plots that I've shown you how I regress the data. Then the y-axis for this data set is going to be, of course, a population, either a count or an estimate, again, depending on which data sets we're using. So in the past, I think the forecasts have depended on the linear straight line curve, which isn't necessarily the best approximation for a population data set, because as you can see, if the line is increasing, it's just going to keep going and going and going without any limit imposed upon it, and that's not really realistic for a population data set. And similarly, if the trend is decreasing, eventually it's going to hit zero using a linear model, and barring some horrible catastrophe, that's not likely to happen either. So a little bit more of a useful curve is the exponential curve. But that seems to be a little more reflective of a place that's initially growing very rapidly. As you can see, as time advances, the change in population can go up very quickly or down very quickly, depending on what the trend is. So to me, a compromise is using a more logarithmic curve, which is what I put under the new model, so that if the trend is decreasing, it's a bit more moderate. It's not so precipitous all at once. And similarly, if we have an increase, it's happening a little bit more gradually over time. So that was just kind of the rationale for the change in using a different kind of regression curve. So in order to select the data from which to project these trends, we're just giving different results using different data sets. So we decided to use two different ones and tweak a little bit, just because using one data set over another for different regions or different sub-areas within the region seemed to give a little bit more of an accurate reflection of what current trends seem to be. So for Portage County, I regressed using actual census data points between 1960 and 2010, being the most recent census count, of course. It seemed to be a better reflection when we get the forecast numbers of kind of a more robust change in population growth, primarily increasing rather than decreasing. For Summit County and Wayne County, it seemed like the trend was a little bit more gradual, and we seemed to get better results if we used American Community Survey estimate data from, again, just trying to keep things more or less comparable as much as possible. I just used, again, the last six data points that were available in keeping with using the six most recent data points for Portage County as well. Because when we used actual census counts, especially for the cities, Cuyahoga Falls, Akron, Barberton, we got really strong precipitous drops, which I don't think were realistic. So it seemed to make more sense since we had a little bit more of a gradual change throughout the county. And again, being a little bit more populous to begin with, we wouldn't expect a whole lot of radical change in those areas. We did make one exception, though, because Green still seems to be on a little bit more of an exponential growth trend. So we did incorporate exponential numbers for the subset in Green. And we'll see how that reflects in the graphs in just a moment. So for the overall AMATS region, we're anticipating a roughly 2.4% growth rate overall. So you can see the actual census count of 722,000 some in 2010, and then anticipated growth of about 17,000 people in the entire region. Breaking that down by county is, again, the overall trend is positive, with maybe a little bit more robust growth in Portage County and a little bit more moderate growth in Summit and Wayne counties. I know these graphs are a little bit blurry and small print. It's hard to get everything on here on one slide, and I didn't want to be overwhelming everybody with a bunch of graphy stuff. But just to note, I hit the wrong button. For Portage County over here on the right at the top, the points on the graph are a little bit different. Again, since we're using census here, this is going from 1960 through 2010, which was the last data point available, and then projecting along the curve to 2045. For Summit County, again, since I tweaked this for green, I had to use only the forecast year since I couldn't really combine ACS data and census data coming from different years. So it's kind of interesting how adding that adjustment for green straightened the line out a little bit and actually made it a little more linear. And over here in Wayne County, we're using the ACS sample survey from 2011. So just noting that those scales are different on each of these graphs when you're making comparisons. So then breaking down into the sub-areas that were used for the last forecast, for Portage County, just kind of breaking down into more southeast and west quadrants. Again, we just kind of see steady increase. Oh, I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry. paper button. The years are the same for the census years. Just noting that the scales on each of these on the y-axis is a little bit different. Seeing a little bit more seemingly robust change if you're looking at percentages, but just bearing in mind that, of course, a percentage of a lower number is going to reflect a higher percentage change as opposed to a percentage of a higher number. So being careful in comparing those numbers too. And then Summit County, again, suggesting maybe a little bit slight decrease in the more urban areas, and Northern Summit County still being a little bit on the rise with some not quite as strong growth in Central and Southern Summit County. And again, just having to reflect those different data points for the Southern Summit region because of that adjustment for green. So certainly if you have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them as best as I can. If you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to contact me. I have cards with me too if you'd like to contact me after the meeting sometime.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Bright? Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We will move on to resolutions. Resolution 2018-08, which is attachment 6A. Mr. Poulet.
Thank you. Resolution 2018-08 is amendment number 7 to the current TIP. This resolution adds two new projects and then it revises the funding to one project. The two new projects are projects that were just recently selected during our most recent round of funding. The two new projects we want to add because they are scheduled in fiscal year 19 is Infirmary Road in Portage County. This project is strictly a resurfacing project using $643,745 in STBG funds. The other project we want to add is the intersection of State Route 162, Copley Road, and Cleveland-Maslin Road in Copley Township. This is a CMAQ project. It involves adding a couple new turn lanes, construction scheduled in fiscal year 2019 using $400,000 of CMAQ funding. The project that we wish to revise is the large State Route 8 project in the cities of Stowe and Hudson. This is the big project that reconstructs all the pavement. It's a large project. It has a lot of different funding sources. But the construction is scheduled in 2019, and changes we want to make is increasing the Darby bond from $47 million to $55 million, adding $16,000 of federal multi-lane major rehab funds, increasing the amount of the local share from $20,000 to $21,000. And that is a ODOT project that is that doesn't have any of our actual MS funding in it, but it is in our TIP. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Actually, Dave, this is a question for Jerry or Steve. This project, will it be going on? It's going to be going on pretty much at the same time Cuyahoga Falls reconstruction on how is going on. Is that accurate? Like, do
I think Howe sells next spring.
And does the concrete job, does it begin at Howe? Or is it further up?
It's just north of Grant.
Okay. So we don't anticipate any conflicts, because I feel like we could see some Grant bleeding from the Howe project. I wasn't sure if that was going to be under the construction zone area.
So there will be no purposely scheduled projects all interfere with each other?
Oh, no, we do. but, yeah, that's all I was curious about, was if those two had to interact at all.
Very good. I'll entertain a motion.
Jim Waller, move to approve.
Dave White, second.
Any comments, questions? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We'll move on to resolution 2018-09, attachment 6B by Mr. Gardner.
Mr. Chairman, attachment 6D in your packet. There are two routine resolutions that AMF must pass each year in order to remain certified as a Metropolitan Planning Organization. Resolution 2018-09 confirms AMF's annual approval of the Regional Transportation Plan and Transportation Outlook 2040. The same resolution also reaffirms the existing TIP, which was approved last year, and affirms the consistency of both of these documents with the State Implementation Plan, the SIP, for air quality conformity. The TIP and the 2040 plan have both been analyzed for air quality conformity in coordination with ODOT, have been found to be in accord with federal regulations, so the staff is recommending approval of resolution 2018-09. Is there any questions?
Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Any more? Second.
I have a first and a second. Any comments, questions? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. On resolution 2018-10.
Also included in attachment 6B is 2018-10. Every 4 years, the USDOT certifies that AMF is operating the planning process according to federal guidelines. Last year, AMF underwent its federal certification review. The USDOT did certify that AMF may continue to conduct the planning process for another 4 years, at which point the USDOT will return for another federal certification review. Annually, the AMF's policy committee is required to self-certify that it is conducting the planning process according to federal regulations. With resolution 2018-10, the policy committee certifies that the AMF's transportation planning process is being implemented in compliance with all applicable federal requirements. AMF's activities are carried out under the continuing supervision of ODOT. And the staff is recommending approval of resolution 2018-10. We're happy to answer any questions.
Okay. And I'll entertain a motion.
The volume is approved. Any second?
Good. We have a motion and a second. Comments, questions? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We'll move on to resolution 2018-11, attachment 6C, Mr. Gardner.
The MS Area Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan is included in your packet, just following attachment 6C. The USDOT is requiring that the region produce a Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan. The purpose of this plan is to improve transportation for the elderly, the disabled, and low income. The plan seeks to integrate the capabilities of Metro and FARA with those of the area's social service agencies. Specifically, this plan is necessary for the area to obtain and utilize data from the Federal Transit Administration's Elderly and Disabled Program. Eligible projects seeking to use these funds must be consistent with the area's coordinated plan. The Elderly and Disabled Program awards capital grants to private nonprofit organizations in the area, and AMF receives approximately $500,000 per year to do so. The development of a coordinated plan has been overseen by a steering committee consisting of AMF, Metro, and PARTA. The area's social service agencies also participated throughout the development process. The coordinated plan identifies current transportation providers, assesses the needs of the elderly, disabled, and low income, and recommends strategies and projects to address gaps in service and assign priorities for implementing based on resources and feasibility. The updated coordinated plan will remain integrated into the metropolitan and statewide transportation planning processes. The current coordinated plan was adopted 4 years ago. Criteria for the Elderly and Disabled Program will also be incorporated into the funding policy guidelines. The MF's policy committee will approve all projects to be funded as part of the next round of funding, which will start this summer. in order to use elderly and disabled program funds in the MS area. It's necessary to adopt the draft coordinated plan before you. Metro and CARTA, as the designated recipients of federal transit funds, are also required to adopt the coordinated plan. The draft coordinated plan is posted on the MS website at amsplanning.org and is included in your packet today. A public meeting was held to present the draft plan recommendations on March 1st. Staff is requesting that the policy committee adopt the draft MS area coordinated public transit and human services.
Questions? I'll entertain a motion. Good. Having a motion and a second. Any comments or questions? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Okay.
Move on to resolution 2018-12, approving the fiscal year 2019 transportation and planning work program and budget. Okay.
Attachment 6D is the final transportation planning work program and budget for fiscal year 2019, which begins this July 1st, 2018. A draft of the work program was approved in January by the policy committee, and then it was submitted to ODOT for review. After we've received comments from both ODOT and FHWA, the major elements of the plan remain the same. Therefore, we are AMS staff is looking for approval for the fiscal year 2019 for transportation plan, planning work program and budget.
Comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion. Very good. Having a motion and a second, are there any comments or questions? Hearing no questions, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Very good.
Thank you.
Mr. Baker, do we have any other business?
We do. Steve Rubio, you'd like to take the floor?
Sure. As we're talking about all these long-range plans in 2040 and everything else, I'm sending that way. The department last summer started the processes for our next long-range plan. We call it Access Ohio, and believe it or not, the version we are starting right now and working on is Access Ohio 2045. So there is a workshop next Monday at 2 o'clock at the district headquarters. There will be experts from central office coming up talking about the long-range plan and some scenario planning. So hopefully you can all attend. It's a great opportunity to talk about autonomous vehicles, hyperloops, all that kind of stuff. What's overall transportation going to look like a couple of decades?
Throwing some grenades into that.
Yeah. So hopefully you can participate. I think it's very interesting stuff. And we are the first. They're going all around the state. They have 7 stops in the next month or so. We are the first ones. If you can't make 2 o'clock, there's also a public one from 5 to 7. So.
You're going to have, like, hoverboards there for
us? No.
How about donuts?
So hopefully you can all participate. Thank you.
Any questions? Any questions from the committee? Okay. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Meeting will be adjourned at 1:59 p.m. And I'd like to just remind everybody, as Mr. Baker said, the next meeting in June will be at ODOT District 4.